Good morning and Merry Christmas. It's good to be back with you today. And already have had an enjoyable time with Sunday school, and the song service has been a blessing. And it's good to see you all look pretty today. Many of you with your red and green on and your smiles. And I know you're looking forward to time with family, and you're looking forward to food, opening presents, all those good things. And so I know probably some of that's going to happen today. I don't want to keep you very long so you can get to it. But I want you to take your Bibles to Matthew chapter 1, and we're going to look Matthew 1, Matthew 2, and want to be reminded of the Christmas story. Not a Christmas story, but the Christmas story, the story of Jesus Christ, who came from glory down to earth to save the soul of man. Matthew chapter 1, and I'll begin reading in verse 18 of chapter 1. Now the birth of Jesus Christ was on this wise, or is in this way, when as his mother Mary was espoused to Joseph, before they came together, she was found with child of the Holy Ghost. Then Joseph, her husband, being a just man and not willing to make her a public example, was minded to put her away privately. But while he thought on these things, behold, the angel of the Lord appeared unto him in a dream, saying, Joseph, thou son of David, fear not to take unto thee Mary thy wife, for that which is conceived in her is of the Holy Ghost. She shall bring forth a son, and thou shalt call his name Jesus, for he shall save his people from their sins. Now all this was done that it might be fulfilled which was spoken by the Lord, or of the Lord by the prophets, saying, behold, a virgin shall be with child and shall bring forth a son, and they shall call his name Emmanuel, which being interpreted is God with us. Then Joseph, being raised from sleep, did as the angel of the Lord had bidden him, and took unto him his wife, and knew her not, till she had brought forth her firstborn son, and he called his name Jesus. Chapter 2. Now when Jesus was born in Bethlehem of Judea, in the days of Herod the king, behold, there came wise men from the east to Jerusalem, saying, where is he that is born king of the Jews? For we have seen his star in the east, and are come to worship him. When Herod the king had heard these things, he was troubled, and all Jerusalem with him. And when he had gathered all the chief priests, the scribes of the people together, he demanded of them where Christ should be born. And they said unto him, in Bethlehem of Judea, for it is written by the prophet, Micah said this, and behold, Bethlehem in the land of Judah, you're not the least among the princes of Judah, for out of you shall come a governor that shall rule my people Israel. Then Herod, when he had privately called the wise men, inquired of them diligently what time the star appeared. And he sent them to Bethlehem and said, go and search diligently for the young child. When you have found him, bring me word again that I may come and worship him also. And when they had heard the king, they departed, and lo, the star which they saw in the east went before them till it came and stood over where the young child was. When they saw the star, they rejoiced with exceeding great joy. And when they were come into the house, they saw the young child with Mary his mother, and fell down and worshipped him. And when they had opened their treasures, they presented unto him gifts, gold and frankincense and myrrh. That is the first and real Christmas story. Let's have prayer together. Father, as I read that today, I just was reminded once again how wonderful and how mysterious the birth of Jesus was. How amazing it is to think that you would leave heaven, that you would be Emmanuel, God with us. You'd come down here to this old, dusty, dirty, sinful planet. You'd love us so much. You'd bring your peace to earth where there was no peace. And you'd bring reconciliation between God and man through your life and death and resurrection. Lord, what an amazing event we celebrate this time of the year, the coming of Christ, our King. Help us never to lose sight of that, and help us to always be in awe of how amazing it is. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. In Matthew, the writer that once was a tax collector, he uses some words, of course, that were inspired by the Holy Spirit of God. And those words both are the name of this Holy One and also titles of this Holy One. The name is Jesus, and the titles which refer to Him are Emmanuel, Lord, Christ, and King. All of those titles found in this passage that we read about here this morning. And when you think about the various ways that Jesus Christ came and met our need, it's amazing, isn't it? I mean, you think about how He's God with us, the presence of God, the very being of God with us. John would say it like this in his first chapter: the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld His glory, the glory as the only begotten of God, full of grace and truth. I mean, God came to dwell with men. Also, we find the word that Matthew would pen and give to us, the title Christ, referring to His being anointed. In Old Testament times, they would use a vial of oil or a horn of oil, and they would anoint the prophets as the Lord's messengers, God's voice among the people. They would also anoint with oil the priests. And the priests would do, the high priest would do the work of sacrificing one time a year that holy sacrifice of that lamb, and going into that most holy place and sprinkling that lamb's blood on the mercy seat there over the Ark of the Covenant. And every year that would picture from that anointed person, that priest who was representing man to God and God to man, it would 1 year would, one more time, the sins of mankind would be covered and cleansed, and the sin of man would roll forward one more year until this sacrifice, this anointed person, God in flesh, would show up on the scene, born of a virgin. And He, the anointed one of God, would go to Calvary as the sacrifice. And His blood would be shed and would be the cleansing for our sins. But not only would He be the sacrifice and would His blood be shed, but He is also the high priest offering the blood in the Holy of Holies in heaven. And He was also the one receiving that offering. He was God accepting. Isn't this an amazing thing? What God did through this amazing event that we celebrate once a year, the Christ. But Matthew didn't just use that term. He also used the term Lord. It's referred to as the angel of the Lord. And the term Lord indicates the one who's the boss, who's in charge. He's the one above all, the preeminent one. And you know, Jesus is Lord. The high watermark of the New Testament is when His followers would refer to Him as Lord. He is the boss. He is the one in charge. He rules over all. He is Lord. And the litmus test in ancient times was, who is Lord? If you wouldn't say Caesar's Lord, it might mean your head. And so saying Jesus is Lord puts everything into perspective, doesn't it? He is the preeminent one. But there's one other title here that's very interesting. The three wise men, or we say it's three, we don't really know how many it was, but we say three because they brought what? Gold, the gifts, frankincense, and myrrh. So we kind of picture them all having one of the gifts and bringing it to worship Jesus and lay that there at His feet. But they came to the king, Herod. He was one of many kings in that day. What Rome would do was Rome would go in and conquer an area, and then they would have like puppet kings or governors over an area. They were always under the Caesar and had to answer to him and the Senate. But this guy, Herod, was a very jealous man. He was proudful and arrogant, and he didn't want anybody coming into his space to try to take over and to usurp his authority. And so when these wise men came, who were probably kings themselves from the east, they came following a star, and they reported to the people in Jerusalem, "We are following a star, and we're looking for the King of the Jews. We're looking for the Christ, the anointed one who's to be anointed the King of the Jews." Now, I mentioned earlier that the prophet was anointed with oil, the priest was anointed with oil, but also the king was anointed with oil. You remember how Samuel anointed Saul? He anointed David the king with oil. And when they said the king, and Herod referred to him as the Christ, you kind of understand the language, don't you? Because they're looking for the one who was to be the anointed king of the Jews, the king of Israel. And Herod takes a step back and he says, "Well, wait a minute, I'm the king of the Jews." And so this piques his interest, and he calls for the scribes who understand the Old Testament. And he says to them, "Tell me, where's the king supposed to come from? The one that's promised, that everybody's talking about, that these wise men say they're looking for." And scribes say, "Well, it's in Bethlehem, of course." And so they report back to the wise men, and the wise men carry on, and they follow the star, and it stands over the place where the young child was. And they came and worshiped him. But let's back up and talk about the king, because that's one of Jesus' titles, isn't it? He is king. Revelation says he is King of Kings and Lord of Lords. It will be written on his thigh as he comes riding in to the battle of the Armageddon. And on that white horse, he will have a sword drawn, and he will ride in there, and he will wipe out all of the armies of the earth who have come against Israel at that day. And he will be King of Kings. He is King of Kings. The Old Testament talked about the one who will reign with a scepter. Micah talked about the governor of Israel who will govern the whole world. We read about in Sunday school how it refers to him in the Old Testament as Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Prince of Peace. And it talks about how the government shall be upon his shoulders. Remember that? What we're referring to is him who is titled the king over everything, the king over everyone. That's Jesus. The little baby that Mary gave birth to, wrapped him in swaddling clothes, laid him in a manger because there was no room for them in the inn. That's who we're referring to. This is Jesus, the Christ child, who is king over everything. I promise you, he presently reigns king and sits at the right hand of the Father on the throne on high. One of these days, there will be a scroll that he will unroll in heaven. It's the title deed to the universe that he owns, as Revelation 5 declares, and he will unloose the seals of all of the judgments on the planet and the universe that he owns. He owns us. We're his by right, whether we've received him as Savior and Lord or not. He owns us. How many of you believe that this morning? And he does, because he's the king. Now, he came as the lamb slain from the foundation of the world. But I'm telling you, today he reigns as king, the King of kings and Lord of lords. Now, let's think about that just a little bit more. That's his title, the King of the Jew. And Herod was very disturbed, because there was a baby born that was going to take his spot. What he didn't know was that baby was the one that gave him that spot for a time, so that all things could be fulfilled. The Old Testament refers to the weeping that would happen in that little town of Bethlehem. No one could have imagined what Herod would do when he would send soldiers down there to kill every male child 2 years and younger. No one could have imagined that, but the angel of the Lord told Joseph, get up and take the son and take your wife and flee to Egypt. Just maybe hours before Herod's men rode into town and killed those babies. See, he was in charge. He was the one who had the plan. He's the one who was fulfilling prophecy. And as a baby, God refers to him as the king. In Scripture, the king of the Jews, the anointed one, the governor, the Christ of Israel. When you think about that, you think about that this time of the year, we're not just celebrating a baby. We're celebrating our King. We're celebrating King Jesus, anointed by the Father to be the King who would give up everything to save a wretched sinner like me. The King who would leave heaven and leave glory, come down to planet earth as Jesus Christ, walked the dusty roads of Judea, climbed the hill of Calvary, be nailed to a cross and shed his blood for people like us. The King would do that for us. He's the King who saves. So when we celebrate Christmas, we need to remember that the Anointed One, the King of Israel, is to be worshipped. Like the kings from the east came to worship Him, we ought to come to worship Him. We ought to come and give Him gifts. We ought to come and give Him our praise. For He deserves it. He alone deserves it. And if you haven't repented of your sins and trusted in the King, Christ Jesus alone, for salvation, you can do that this morning, right here today. Jesus is come so that men might be saved. Jesus, in fact,'s name means God saves. So we've come together today not just to think about and remember the birth of Jesus, not to just contemplate that whole ordeal, but we've come to worship Him. We've come to give Him His proper right and place. As I thought about that again this year, and you know, it seems like we should think about it all year long, but we only let this birth of Jesus and this whole ordeal of Him coming from heaven down to earth, we kind of let this kind of fade a little bit through the rest of the year, and we kind of bring this back to the forefront this time of the year, and shouldn't be. Christ should always be forefront in our minds. So when you think about our King, Jesus, remember that He who was born was 100% God, 100% man. Come down to save the sin of man, to rescue the soul of man. We need to remember that just like people sought Him in that day, we should seek Him every day of our lives. And if you found Him and you know Him as Lord and Savior, you ought to worship Him every day of your life. John talks about in John chapter 1 this great light, the true light that shone into darkness. And the darkness comprehended it not. Jesus would say later, I am the light of the world. He is shining today into this place and into your heart. Let Him have His way. And then let Him shine through you. He said about us, we are the light of the world. And when we worship Him, His light shines. I was reading a book and I found a story about one of the songs that we sing on Christmas. The fellow that wrote it is named James Montgomery. Miss Dana probably knows the song before I even mention it. His family was Moravian Christians in 1800. They left, as many of the Moravians would do, and they went abroad to do mission work. And what many of them would do is leave their children behind as they left. They'd put them in a boarding school. And so, as he stayed in that boarding school and his parents went to do foreign missions in the West Indies, the unthinkable happened. They were killed doing mission work. And so James was left with nothing. They left him with really no money to have an upbringing and no family there to support him. And so he kind of went from pillar to post in his teenage years with nothing to anchor him except for his faith in Jesus, whom his parents had died for. He did like to write, and so he tried to write for the local newspaper, the Sheffield Iris, and all of his work was unnoticed or unliked by the people he was trying to write for. Until one day, in 1816, it was Christmas Eve, he opened up his Bible and he began to read from Luke chapter 2 and read the Christmas story, and he began to ponder about all the events of that night. As Brother Don read earlier, he began to ponder about the angels showing up on that starry night and singing to those shepherds, or saying to those shepherds, "Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace, goodwill toward men." As he began to read that, the Holy Spirit impressed upon his heart to write a song. And so he penned the words that would later become the music of a Moravian hymn that we sing as a Christmas song today. And here's the words of that song: "Angels from the realms of glory, wing your flight o'er all the earth. Ye who sang creation's story, now proclaim Messiah's birth. Come and worship. Come and worship. Worship Christ, the newborn King." In 1821, that became a famous song throughout all England and those Moravian churches. I'll tell you, it ought to be famous, not just the words of it, but the idea of it, the concept, the theme of it ought to be rehearsed right here today. Come and worship. Come and worship Christ, the newborn King. See, that wasn't where he started. Because he was and is God. Won't be where he ends either. Because he is God. We ought to remind ourselves this morning that we're here to worship King Jesus, who hopefully rules and reigns as King in our hearts. And if he doesn't, he can. He wants to. So with Paul, I just want us to be reminded that he who was God, who thought it not robbery to be equal with God, took upon himself the form of a servant and came in the likeness of men. Think about that. He who is God stepped down and took on the likeness of man. Became a servant to men. And not only just that, but he humbled himself and became obedient unto death. Even the death of a cross. So he who's God stepped down to be man, and not only that, took upon himself the form of a servant to man, and humbled himself and died as a criminal for man. But God highly exalted him and has given him a name which is above every name, that at the name of Jesus, every knee shall bow and every tongue shall confess that he is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. That's who we are worshiping. The God who saves sinners like you and me by giving of himself on that tree at Calvary. What have you done with Jesus? Neutral you cannot be. I said, what have you done with Jesus? Neutral you cannot be. Someday your heart will be asking, what will Jesus do with me? He is the King. Herod, you said it right. Where is this King to be born? This Christ, where is He? Where's He coming from? Well, He came to Bethlehem, but He went to Calvary so that He could come to Salisaw on December 23rd and find us. Are you worshiping Him today? Let's pray. Father, we worship Jesus today. We hold Him in such high esteem and value. Lord, it's all that we can do in our own being. But You give us grace to do it better. We want to lift Him up. Our words won't be enough. Our heart can't say it right. We want Him to be high and lifted up. We want to talk about Jesus. Jesus. There's no name better. There's no name higher. He is God. He is King. He is Christ. And we just value Him today. We honor Him today because He's worthy of it. Thank You for Bethlehem. Thank You for Calvary there at Jerusalem. Thank You for the garden where that tomb was, Joseph of Arimathea, carved out that Jesus will be placed in. And thank You that He arose out of that tomb. Thank You for the Mount of Olives where He ascended back to heaven, where one day He'll come back. First, to call us home, and then second, to set up His rule right here on earth. Jesus, the sweetest name I know. Thank You, Jesus, for loving me. Thank You for saving me. You would want to save someone today. If there's somebody here, Lord, please help them to find rest, find forgiveness, find peace in You, Jesus. Today, for Your name's sake, I pray this. Amen.